Yes, this is Robert Shapiro.
Like Robert Kardashian and his friend.
Well, we're very sorry.
Sensational Johnny Cochran.
He's very depressed.
Marsha.
American Crime Story, : The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Can you imagine getting O.J. to play O.J. in this?
All right, yes, thank you for joining us again in Sidebar. This is Robert Shapiro, played by Dave the Clone, joining me in the Sidebar tonight to discuss American Crime Story, The People v. O.J. Simpson, Episode 2, The Run of His Life, is...
John R.R. Morton.
Esquire. And we will be detailing the legalities and crazitalities or egalities. I think there's a lot of egos that are at work here. Of this second episode, continuing the awesome from the first episode, I would say. I think safely as at that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
In particular,
I wasn't even like I didn't even want an episode of just
exactly,
the Bronco Chase.
Exactly.
And whatever Ryan Murphy does, even when he does something I don't want, it's amazing. Like it's so good. And I just want to say one thing. It's a period piece of the '90s, and it's. Do you get that '90s feel when you're watching it?
Oh. God.
100%.
Yeah.
That's been harder to do than getting like a feel of the 1800s because like the 90s
Thank
is
you.
So close. Our technology
Thank
is so
you.
Close. Our clothes are so close. To get like a 90s feel like that is incredible.
I like how you say our clothes are so close because now I'm like, I look through my closet now. I'm like, shit, I actually still wear some of this.
Sure. Like a period piece from the 1700s, they have all these extravagant outfits that, you know,
yeah,
it's
no.
like a different. World, you know, the fact that he could do it like this is it's incredible. It's wow.
I was really actually the whole time I was watching it, I was like, oh, I cannot wait to speak to Mr. R.R. Morton Esquire about this because it's exactly what he said last episode he didn't want. But the whole time, I mean, I now granted, and I'm no stranger about sharing stuff like this. In vagary on podcasts, so be prepared for that out there, audience. When you're like, "Oh shit, maybe Clone will tell us what he's talking about." No, I'll drop the top.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
I'll drop the surface level shit, and then I just sort of disappear back into my own malaise. But I don't know if it's because I've had some stuff going on lately, just weird personal stuff, and just been on an uneven keel, I guess, for the last couple days or week or so. But I was watching this episode, and I felt like I was actually getting really emotional at times, like almost as emotional as OJ was on the show. You know, it was the ride of it, the thrill and the sort of ups and downs of the whole episode, for some reason, were hitting me. And I think part of it was because of that nostalgia you were talking about, because it felt very, like, I think I alluded to it a lot last episode, too. The whole time of just sitting there thinking, holy shit, I so remember watching all
they,
of
they
this.
They even showed the Knicks game I was talking about last
week.
Yeah,
and the argument where he's like, no, look, that's both sports and news. That's everything. Fuck it. Yeah. You put it on the screen. I'm going to go upstairs and talk to the boss. You know, it's like little things like that I thought mm-hmm. were fucking incredible. And actually, that was why when you were saying last week that you didn't want them to do a whole episode like this, that my mind immediately went to, if they did an episode like this, which I felt like they had to, it would be just like this. We'd be seeing all these little sort of sidebar, non sequitur kind of things that when we're watching the narrative, like the people in the bar who were pissed that they changed the Knicks game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were just like thinking of it in terms of, God damn it.
For a second.
Yeah.
And then
they're like, oh shit, this is going on.
Good for him for getting MJW for being AC.
Oh, God, yeah. That's who that was? I was gonna say, like, what's it called? They were talking about him being a part of the show. And
yeah, that was Theo, man.
Is it just because I don't recognize people because I haven't seen them in so long? I mean,
well, no, he was in Freak Show. He played
what?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, that's right. He was what's her name's like?
Yeah, yeah.
Lover.
Got her groove back. Lover.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the my favorite actresses on the show, also.
Angela Bassett.
Yeah, that. There you go.
Yeah.
The show I used to podcast about that.
that I'm not allowed to anymore.
I still call her how Stella got her group back.
Stella! Wait, or is it Ethel? Ethel was the call that before, like when she broke the bottle and they were about to go tar and feather people, and she was just like, Ethel! It was after
What are you talking about?
Freak Show. Oh, I'm still on Freak Show.
Stella was like very streetcar name design.
I know. I was mixing a lot of references. Yeah. We're getting crossed.
All right. So the show we podcast.
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, I even loved the way it started out, like with Robert Kardashian, like praying in the bathroom and that whole like, a brother is born in adversity. Lord, you know, help him. He knows not what he's doing. He's in pain. Yeah. And then, I mean, I can imagine you must have probably could have thought or pictured my favorite scene in the whole episode. I was just like, open fucking fire, man. Please, just take this out now. Look at these little shitbags. Like,
you didn't notice them in the first episode, so it was, you know what I mean?
I almost feel like it's adjusted things just for me, because I was like, what the fuck? So was that Chloe in the front then? Or
that was all of them, Chloe.
No, but I mean, which the big ugly one is Chloe, right?
Oh. But,
that's horrible. Do
you think they still go in front of the TV chanting their name?
Dude, they chant it as they're fucking falling asleep at night. I mean, it was like, they're like, oh, daddy's on TV. Meanwhile, he's talking about how O.J. Simpson probably killed himself, and he's like practically crying. It was, to me, like, horrifying, the complete disconnect. Like, these fucking idiot kids clearly don't even give a shit about anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they knew immediately how to spell their name. They're chanting it from their house as if that fucking news reporter could hear it. Oh, yes. God,
That's amazing.
I was just like, please, Lord, please, let them all die.
Does he have to get their permission to do that?
Let them all crash in a bus somewhere, somehow. I don't know.
Does Ryan Murphy have to get their permission to do that, or...
See, the thing is with them, they're probably such attention whores that they don't give a fuck if it's bad publicity or good publicity. Yeah, make fun of us. Who fucking cares?
Yeah, exactly.
You're saying our name. It's just one more layer of the hypnotism of the mass media machine, making us feel like these people should fucking matter. Anyway, fucking Kardashians. The only Kardashian I give a fuck about now is Robert Kardashian.
He seemed
like a fucking normal person. Like, I bet you if he saw that shit, like if he saw the chanting, he'd be like, God, this is an important day, guys. This is serious. Oh my God, dude. David Schwimmer.
I don't
Schwimmer.
Know if he's like, yeah, like, is he like, is he really, I find he's like goofy.
Yeah, there's a part.
Twitter.
Yeah, there's a
it's
part.
Like, boss, I just picture like, pivot.
Like, or not even that, like, well, I guess that, but like, just like slow.
It's Ross.
There's like a moment of slowness almost, you know? I don't know.
Like, I feel like when the trial comes, it's like they're going to have to tolerate him.
It, to me, is the same level of slowness that probably any of the Kardashian girls have when they have to read the instructions on, like, a microwavable pizza. You know, they're just like, oh, what? Like, how does this work? I somehow figured out how to make the world pay me for my wedding, but I don't know how to fucking microwave a pizza because it requires thinking. God damn. Damn it. Kardashians.
Wow.
Except for Robert. You're cool, bro. Robert Kardashian, you're the man. Especially for getting away from that monster, Kris Jenner. The head of the Illuminati monsters over there. But yeah, it was a big episode for a lot. I mean, actually, you know, I feel like one of the things I'm enjoying is that every episode, everybody gets moments in the sun. Mm-hmm. So far, you know, and for even Shapiro to be like, you know, there's an unspoken enemy here. I'm being blamed for all of this. And we should have our own press conference. It was hilarious. Like, you could see that there's a level
the
shit
where show has already begun.
Yeah. But there's also a level where I feel like as a lawyer, he kind of actually is, like, at least for the Hollywood side of the game. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
like,
Johnny Cochran was even making fun of him, saying, like, it's all about me.
I would never fall back on the pronouns of me, myself, and I. Remember, when you're hired by these people, you are for your client. Always. Yeah. Never betray that person.
But it's crazy how embarrassed the prosecution was. Bruce Greenwood, who's playing Gil Garcetti, even makes a comment that there goes my chance of ever becoming mayor.
Yeah, it's like everybody.
What's funny about that is Gil Garcetti, His son is now the current mayor of Los Angeles. So.
Wow. Oh, so I wonder if there was any shade being thrown his way during the debacle that was True Detective Season 2. Like, the whole Vinci, like, little L.A., mini L.A. city within that. Total other show, not one we're podcasting about right now. But when you hear these little things and you hear, like, father, son, like, it's almost like passing the legacy down. Some of those little tones get mentioned, and being that we're podcasters and that you tune in for shit like this, we figured we'd throw some of that out there. Hit us up at hollow9podcast@gmail.com, hashtag it with American crime or crime story, something to let us know it's referring to this show, and let us know what you think. Join in the conversation, or you could follow us at Hollow9Cast, and that's hollow, the word hollow, H-O-L-L-O-W, the number 9, I-N-E-C-A-S-T, that little at symbol at the front of that. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, back to the lawyers on TV. I have never had an issue like this before. I have arranged these similar situations in the past. I am the one who brought the Menendez brothers back. Was it... Which one was it? One of the Menendez brothers went to Israel?
Yeah, I didn't know he defended them.
Me neither. I was like, holy shit, I remember all that too. And I feel like that's another case that they'll probably bring up. They've mentioned it twice now and definitely once in each episode. So I feel like already we're on clue watch for what case number two is going
to
be.
Well, if you know Ryan Murphy, he likes the California or the Boston area. So it might be like, did the Boston Strangler ever go to trial?
Oh, I don't know. They must, because so many people know all about, like, the
detail. Yeah, so, like, those are the two areas he likes the most, it seems like.
He also likes New Orleans.
That's true.
Two seasons of American Horror were set there.
Two?
Yeah, Freak Show was set out, it was, like,
supposed to be Freak Show's in Florida.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to be right outside, or maybe they filmed it. Maybe that's what it was, that they decided, right. He decided he didn't want to leave New Orleans to film.
Yeah,
it was
in Jupiter, Florida.
Motherfuck. I'm just making mistakes all over this podcast. God. Well, fuck it. I'm owning them. This is Mistake Cast, American Crime Story.
We learned from our mistakes here.
The People versus OJ Clone. Yeah, and Marsha Clark getting no less cold this episode.
Yeah, she's calculating. She wants his ass.
What is now? Yeah, like was there anything that ever came out about why that? It just she seems like so dead set, and it's almost as if she doesn't like. I mean, like I famously did last episode, she even asked, "Who is AC Cowlings anyway?" It's like she doesn't even know him, but she knows for sure he's guilty, and she wants to make sure he pays, you know? Well,
she's, I might be speculating. She's going through a horrible divorce. I don't know if abuse was involved, but when she heard the way he used to beat Nicole, she seemed to have taken that personally. Doesn't mean she's been abused. I definitely don't know that.
We're skirting a line already for all the feminists out there. Sorry.
As a man, I get offended by that kind of abuse.
So
but I'd imagine a woman of power in the 90s, she must have been strong. And I think that's what really, got to her the most.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, and I know, and ladies, anyone out there listening, please.
And you have to be a tough as shit to be where you are. This is still the early 90s.
Well, yeah, it's no matter how much we all talk about how things have progressed, I think the fact of just all of the sort of famous isms coming back up in play in the last couple of years in the news, it just shows that we're not as progressed a society as we think.
Well, the thing is, though, we definitely progressed, but it's still shitty for women and people of color. Mm-hmm. So imagine in the 90s, where it didn't progress yet, it must have been really shit. So just for her to get so high up the ladder, she must have been tough as nails.
Yeah.
I sort of have a respect for Marsha Clark, but I could see why, back then, why she was portrayed the way she was.
Well, I mean, she doesn't help the case too much. You know what I mean? She just has this very driven, cold, maniacal look to her.
Facts,
I mean, even the way that, like, I feel like that Sarah Paulson, like, in a lot of the scenes where they're pushing in or she's just sitting there looking at the TV or something, it's like the way she holds her head even. It's like she's almost like this statue set in revenge. You know what I mean? And revenge for something that didn't happen to her. And I definitely think that may be a big reason why they made such a point of starting with her divorce situation being sort of highlighted in the last episode so that we know. I mean, right away, just learning that last episode immediately told me that I was going to have a whole new view on Marsha Clark after this show is over, because you know, that's something that I think I was too young to even think about. Like, oh my God, these people have lives. There's stuff going on for these people outside this trial, you know? And then I guess this episode started to really show some more of the racial tension, even where you have Christopher Darden and his neighbors talking about how...
This whole thing was amazing about how
OJ became white, and then, well, he's being chased by the cops, so he's black now. And again, we are very sensitive to the fact that we are two white guys podcasting about this. So please, let's just leave all the political correctness shit at the door. We are not racist, and we have nothing against anybody. The show has elements that I would say even I'm feeling uncomfortable when I was watching it, going,
"Oh yeah,
shit,
I hate life. Everybody."
Yeah, me too. You're a dick across the board. Or I'm a dick across the board. I don't know what the fuck it is. Maybe everybody hates me. Maybe that's what it comes down to. And I just bounce that shit right back out to the world. I don't know. But yeah, no. It's actually easier to get along with people, but fuck if it doesn't seem like a lot of the world agrees with that. But
yeah, I love how Darden's father just told him to get the fuck away from this case. You know, because he knows that Darden thinking that OJ did it, and
this is dangerous.
The community they're in, it would be very dangerous.
And he was already kind of seeing that happen a little bit when they were talking about, you know, talking outside in the backyard. They all had
Jim Brown was much better.
They had the TVs out in the backyard. You know, they're barbecuing, but nobody's stopping to watch. It's an interesting, like, usually nostalgia pieces like this, you're enjoying some of the nostalgia. It's actually kind of fun. And with this, I feel like moments of it are, because it's sort of like, man, what a long time ago, but I still remember it so clearly, you know. But at the same time, I guess looking at it again with these older eyes, or realizing the implications of things that just flew over your head when you were younger, it's just like, oh, man, what a rough situation this was for everybody in it. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
And then, I guess for me, the part that I was, I guess, getting emotional watching was actually all the stuff with OJ and the Bronco, where he's the panic and the level of desperation in everything he says. When he's like, "I don't want to talk to the cops. Tell them to get away from the car. Tell them the gun is loaded. Like, get me out of here." Like, I've been in moments of that level of panic. Obviously, not sitting in a Bronco with a gun to my head, not wanting to talk to cops, but where you're just like, "God damn it! Why can't it just fucking change to what I fucking need it to be? Like, I need this to change right now, and no one is helping me." At least OJ was a celebrity. Us normies gotta fucking just live through that shit.
Yeah.
But damn, and I mean, I don't know. So, as the Bronco chase started to clearly become what was going to be the center focus of the show, how were you feeling as it was unfolding, as opposed to when you were going into it thinking, "I really don't want a whole episode on the Bronco chase"? What about the way that they showed it? Like, cause to me, I feel like there were some things about the way that they did it that really made it, like, I felt like I was watching a movie. I was like, "Oh God, this is awesome." You know?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. My favorite part of the episode, and I think it's going to be my favorite part of the show, are those, you know, when the prosecutors are just in their office talking, like the behind the scenes stuff. That's what I'm going to be most excited
for. The Tarantino moments.
Yeah. Like them talking frankly about the case. You know, I'm sure the case itself is going to be incredible. I can't wait till Lance Ito comes on.
Oh God. Yeah.
Kenneth, I hope I don't butcher his last name. Kenneth Choi is playing him. we still got Nick.
Are you giving me shit for the butchering of the last name comment I made last week with Larry Kazanowski?
Oh no, I forgot about that. Kazanowski, by the way.
Oh shit! You know whose name I get right is Costas, because there was actually like classic footage of Bob Costas in this. But yeah,
no, I definitely wasn't.
Well, I just figured Choi is a hard one to mispronounce.
And you know,
welcome to DickCast, the sidebar of the sidebar.
I can imagine probably next week or the week after, Nathan Lane and F. Lee Bailey will be there.
Yeah. Well, we've seen him twice. Like, both weeks we've seen him in the coming soon. So now I'm like, all right, well, where the fuck is he? Because yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
But did you find the scenes in the Bronco was a little overacting by Cuba?
Well, I actually was going to ask if you felt like it redeemed him in your eyes at all this episode, but I'm hearing that's a decided no.
I actually have the episode going in mute as we speak, and yeah, I'm watching. It even looks worse.
NBC live news coverage. I loved when they cut to the inside of that Volvo or Volkswagen bus, right? Like to start the actual Bronco chase sequence, mm-hmm. and it just cuts with. And we get like Beastie Boys Sabotage all of a sudden becoming like the prime sound of this whole opening sequence. Yeah. That's one of the things that Ryan Murphy and crew always do well is they take a Scorsese level approach of mixing the music into the piece and making it almost like as important as the dialogue and the sequences on either side of it. So having that, like they turn on Sabotage. You remember the episode, the music video for that was all this like very Cochise cop kind of chase type stuff happening. Guys jumping over boxes and garbage cans with the big mustaches and all 70s out and stuff. So we already kind of have that vibe going from the song, and you have these two hippies in these hippies who are like, holy shit, that's OJ. You know, like they recognize OJ. That's how much of a impact his celebrity had, his level of notoriety and recognizability is what I'm trying to say. So I think that's also where it felt really movie-ish to me too, because like that song really opened, like it was almost like a music video for a second, and then it became American Crime Story again, you know. And the same thing happened with the music at the barbecue with Darden talking to his neighbors. It's a lot of those elements that I think are really pushing this show as far as the quality. So that mixed with this nostalgia effect that we were talking about, I think maybe that was what was making it like really overwhelming for me, because it was then when we saw him like crying in the Bronco that I was like starting to get choked up, like, man, I'm fucking feeling super bad for this murderer. Like, I'm feeling really bad for this fucking guy who killed people.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But overacting in like in what way? I mean, I thought AC was awesome.
AC was awesome. So MJ Dubs, man. MJ Dubs.
It's
nothing
just
wrong with
Cuba that.
That
you're like kind of like.
Yeah, it's like he's going psycho. Looks like he's going to shit his pants the whole time. Like,
well, I mean, I think he's doing justice to what probably was really going on for OJ. You know what I mean?
OJ seems more stoic.
I don't know, though. I especially thought something about all the times, not only when the detective called him in the car, but when he would talk to the cops and he would always be like saying like, man, you know, I'm sorry you guys had to come out here and do this.
Yeah, but
you know?
Like, he's supposed to sound charming and he doesn't.
I thought he did there, though. I mean, I felt like
the
it was really
the words
are,
the writing is fine.
It's just Cuba?
I don't get it.
I don't know. To me, it's working.
By the way, I have nothing against Cuba Gooding Jr. Love him and Jerry Maguire. Uh-huh. Anything else with him?
Well, there was that Men of Honor, the one with him and De Niro, where he's the naval, the old
saw
school.
That,
oh, jeez.
What
about Pearl Harbor when he shoots down that plane from the fucking deck of the sinking ship, you know?
Right. That's his last.
All right. Oh, we'll give him that. Jeez.
But I have nothing against him. I just don't find he's an
OJ. Okay, hold on a second. Have you not seen Judgment Night? Judgment Night! Judgment Night! Holy shit. Cuba Gooding Jr. is, he's I guess, it's him and Emilio Estevez get top billing, plus Dennis Leary is the bad guy. Jeremy Piven, Stephen Dorff, and it's like, so it's...
He's amazing in Boys in the Hood.
Boys in the Hood, yeah, we didn't say that either. what's it called?
He's in Coming to America, but he's just like a kid getting a haircut.
That's right. In the barbershop, he's just sitting there with a big goofy smile on his face.
Outbreak, he was beautiful. Never saw Losing Isaiah.
Me neither. I didn't see Losing. So there was a...
What Dreams May Come, which was like a...
I didn't love it, but
it was nice to look at, but I didn't love it.
Oh, he was in Outbreak with...
with Marcel. With Marcel.
Miss Paganini. Shit. I know there's... Oh, dude, did you ever see that made-for-HBO movie?
He's in Rat Race.
There was this made-for-HBO movie back in the early 90s. It was a projected future where AIDS was so rampant that they had to, like, tattoo people who had it with these, like, the letter P for positive, and then they would throw them all into these sort of, like, ghetto-y, death campy kind of places, and he was like this resistance fighter. I forget what the hell the name of that is, and if anybody out there who's listening hears this and remembers, hollow9podcast@gmail.com, hashtag crime story Cuba AIDS movie. Let us know.
Google Cuba AIDS.
Or I could actually, I have IMDb open. I could just do Cuba Gooding Jr.
AIDS.
Oh, man. It was called something like Deadline or Daybreak. Might have made, maybe Daybreak. That sounds like it could be. How many Cuba Gooding Jr.'s are there on IMDb? So, you know, one of the things that occurs to me, that which that is crazy that this show is able to pull off, is, again, this is something that actually happened. This is something we lived through. He was in As Good As It Gets, by the way. what's it called? This is something that we all know what the outcome actually is. Yet I'm sitting there going, holy shit, are they going to get him out of this Bronco? Like, holy shit.
Oh, the movie is called Daybreak, by the way.
I was like, fuck, did you find it first?
Yeah, it plays Torch.
Torch! A Few Good Men. He was in A Few Good Men as well.
Yeah.
Gladiator. Did you ever see that Gladiator?
Like I said, I have nothing against him. I just don't think he's a good OJ.
MacGyver. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know what? I think he's doing the best he can. I don't think it's horrible. I think some of the
No, not at all.
I felt the whole sort of like when he's apologizing to the cops, I felt there was a slight charm, but it was a charm in like a how simple and innocent it seemed. Like, dude, there's much bigger implications to what's happening here. Like, you don't need to apologize to the fucking cops for keeping them late on a Friday. Like, this is what cops do. This is what they're fucking here for. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Come on, bro. Now, I did, though, totally, like, I felt like there were things that we missed. You know, like, maybe there were sequences that were pulled from this episode. Like, I couldn't understand why. Is it just because they read the note that at the beginning Robert Kardashian goes to OJ's family and says, we have reason to believe he killed himself?
Yeah, because of the note.
That's it, though? Because it seemed like to me,
you couldn't get in touch with him and the note.
From the press conference, they're like, I don't know. I felt like that was a little bit of a jump to where they were suddenly so shocked that he was still alive to see him in the Bronco.
How crazy was it? Like, CNN had his like death. Like, yeah,
they were already working on the montage of his eulogy special. Yeah. And that, like, Cochran walk in on them as they're editing it? 100%. And he's just like, yeah, he's still alive. Oh,
and then he goes
God.
On a talk show.
That
like, a court
was
talk show.
Fucking crazy.
And it was amazing. And, like, it just shows, like, if you notice now, like, most talk show nows have desks.
Oh, yeah.
This is, like, the 90s where they just have these, like, uncomfortable chairs and, like, their back is, like, arched straight.
Yeah, it looks like they're so gonna fall off of them, you know. Yeah, it's like, exactly. It's uncomfortable, like, yeah. Being propped up. Kinda.
And they're like, and they look like glass, so it's like, I don't know how they stay on there. Like, it must be so slippery.
I mean, he actually looks like he's holding on to it for dear life.
Yeah, but like that was like a 90s talk show. Had those.
And then that story he tells, holy shit.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with the OJ case,
but it did at the same time. I mean, it
well,
was
that's
again,
why he's Johnny Cochran. He's
it's well, it's also it's playing. It's not playing.
It's the bookie defense.
Pulling in the idea of the climate at the time and 100%. How intense and psychotic the LAPD, but not just the LAPD, all PDs. And, you know, I'm not a hater of cops. I mean, if you've followed me on Facebook, I've been pretty vocal about pointing out some of the stories that have made it to the news these days about craziness that cops pull off. And it's more out of a disappointment level because I feel like I would love to always trust cops, but there's a part of me that feels like, you know, there's something scary. But, like, none of us can imagine what it must have been like or still must be like for people of color who, with the comments being made by the characters on this show, mimicking so much of what we're seeing in the fact that they have things like Black Lives Matter. You know, it's kind of horrifying. And I feel like they're doing such a good job of capturing that and presenting it in a way so that, like, I almost am retroactively realizing, like, holy shit, man, it's been like this for so long. You know what I mean? Any times that I've always thought things were better, I feel like I've been just lied to and duped, you know? Mm-hmm. So kudos to them for really this show. I do find, I use the word magical about how it pulls you in, you know, the allure about it. One of the things I also feel like I don't remember how it happened, so I'm interested to see it happen, is how the Dream Team actually comes together. You know,
cause well, that's the name of the next episode.
I noticed that when we were just on IMDb, actually. But like
on FX, I have FX Canada. They don't have preview for the next week's episode.
Oh, they don't
have that.
No, they show us like a coming this season, and it's kind of got. It's clearly got scenes from multiple episodes, not just the
okay.
Next
no,
time.
I have that too, but I mean, like, you don't have like next week on Crime Story.
They'll show it right like after the show before it or whatever movie's on before it ends. It says, "All right, next on American Crime Story," and it's sort of a abbreviated just about that episode promo.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure they air it throughout the week. I'm a bad TV watcher, guys. I don't watch it as much. During the week, it's more DVR is what saves me as a podcaster.
For us Canadians, a PVR.
Ooh, what is that, a programming video recorder? What is the PC?
Ooh, I always thought it was personal.
Oh, okay, that works too, personally. Just as long as it's not digital video.
Fuck
recorder.
That shit.
As long as it's different than your Southern...
I'd rather say TiVo it.
Camaraderie. Yeah, TiVo. TiVo is the first...
That was the term. That was like the Kleenex of it. You know,
how
the,
does
the
it work? Like pies, how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like people call the refrigerators a Frigidaire.
Yeah.
This is TiVoing.
What's that term called?
When a name becomes the term.
The term, yeah, like Vaseline.
Or Zestfully Clean.
Yeah,
No, Zestfully Clean is a
that was just a, slogan.
A different term, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone knows that one. Hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Hashtag,
yes.
This is what it is. So, yeah, I'm really kind of looking forward to seeing that team come together. It was, I mean, I think because it was the Bronco Chase, there's not so much to talk about. Just that they definitely, even OJ was shocked at the people supporting him. You know, he's like, oh, man, these people shouldn't be out on the highway. Like, you know, it's just like, what are they doing? I thought that was kind of neat. And that was what AC kept telling him. Like, you know, people love you. You got to, like, don't kill yourself. It really is... I guess I didn't, as a kid, realize how close OJ did come to killing himself, or how it was seemed like that was what he was mm-hmm. definitely going to do. There were multiple times this episode I'm like, dude, how did he not do this? But what's crazy is I think that, and then I think to the day that they handed down the verdict and how he just kind of like smiled and said thank you to the jury as they said not guilty, and I'm suddenly like, ooh, oh, yeah, he did it. Fuck, man, he did it. I listened back to our episode from last week, and I suddenly felt horrible about how callous I was being. We're like, oh, my God, we're watching a fucking murderer. But, like, now I'm kind of like, yeah, he did mm-hmm. it. He fucking did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I'm leaning towards that.
Yeah, so what are we missing here? What have we not touched on?
Well, that's the thing. It's in the car the whole time. There's not, you know what I mean?
And this is kind of, I'm sure, why you didn't want there to be an episode like this. But I felt like for an episode that
they did it well. They did it well. Murphy, yeah. You're a genius. Karaszewski, you're a genius. Scott Alexander, you're a genius.
I also didn't remember.
I think Scott Alexander and Larry Karaszewski are writing every episode.
And it looks like 10. So far Murphy's directed both of the first
Yeah, you
two.
Can tell he has his, you know, he has his stamp on this whole thing.
So is he going to direct all of them, you think?
No, because the next two are Anthony Hemingway.
Okay, shit, man.
That is John Singleton. And then
what?
For episode six, it's Ryan Murphy again.
John
and then,
Singleton is directing episodes of this?
Yeah, it's,
oh.
called the Race Card.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. See, that's on the level of me saying something like, imagine they got OJ to play OJ in this.
Oh, John shit, man. He directed Rosewood.
I was about to say, dude, John Singleton is no joke. Like, didn't he also do Boys in the Hood?
Did he? Yeah, he did Shaft. I was going to say he did Shaft, but compared to Boys in the Hood, I can't, because Boys in the Hood is one of the best movies ever made.
Now, he didn't do Menace to Society, though, right?
No, he did Boys in the Hood. Boys in the Hood, sorry. Higher Learning, Poetic
Justice. Oh, Higher Learning, dude.
Shaft, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay, Higher Learning was out in the theaters at the same time that Demon
Knight
was out.
With the Nazis?
It was with everything. It was the crash of college. You know what I mean? It was like,
oh,
all,
like KKK. KKK.
All racist shit happening, but in college. Just like crash
yeah.
is the adult version.
What is that? Like KKKU or something? It was the most racist college.
Christy Swanson gets raped, and like everybody comes to her rescue at the end. And,
yeah.
Oh my
Stay
God.
Out of school, children.
It was basically that movie scared the establishment so much that, okay, it was out at the same time in the theaters as Tales from the Crypt Demon Night. And I was a huge, I'm still a huge horror fan, so I was out seeing that like opening night, Friday night. And the next day, Saturday, a buddy of mine wanted to go see Higher Learning, but our parents were going to just drop us off at the movie theater. Well, Higher Learning was so controversial and charged that we weren't allowed. Like, they wouldn't let us buy the tickets.
Oh, really?
And then,
that
like,
never happened.
And, like, yeah, my friend's mom had already driven away, so she couldn't buy the tickets for us. And we were the only ones going to the theater, and my friend was so dead set on it. He's like, well, let's just ask somebody to buy us the tickets. And I'm like, okay, let's see if that works. And, like, we asked some random guy to go up to the theater and buy two separate tickets because we both had our $10 bills that we needed to break to get candy. You know what I mean? Like, it was so fucking dumb. And then, like, we waited 10 minutes, and we just walked into the theater. And I'm like, dude, no one else is here. Like, they totally know we didn't buy tickets, and now all of a sudden we're showing up with tickets. And we almost got into Higher Learning, but when the ticket booth girl saw us, she was like, hold on a second, let me see those. And saw that it was Higher Learning, and she was like, no, I already told you guys you can't go see this without your parents, blah, blah, blah. 14 years old, by the way. It's fucking...
Did she kick you out of the theater, or you just...
No,
went
we went to see Demon Knight, and it was the second time I had seen it, but there was a guy working at the theater who was like, oh, I'll let you guys in for like $5, and I'm like, fuck you.
Fuck you, asshole.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Higher Learning, John Singleton, awesome. See, that's the kind of shit they do, man. This is the kind of shit that Ryan Murphy does. Brings in big guns like that. That's badass.
Oh, very cool, by the way, how people are waiting on the highway cheering OJ on over the overpass bridges. That was pretty fucking
awesome.
And
then, like, the news is like, so what? why are you supporting OJ when he's been accused of murder? And they're like, oh, no, we're not supporting OJ. We're booing the LAPD. She's like, I don't...
Not really.
I don't hear any booing, actually.
Yeah. Oh, what a good show, man. Oh.
So fucking awesome. And yeah, to me, some of the time I'm watching it going, ooh, this is going to be a little edgy to talk about. Yep. But fuck it.
Oh, it's official. I'm reading next season is going to be something based around Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, shit, dude. I was just in New Orleans for Mardi Gras. Rock on with the titties, by the way, guys. And it was, when I mentioned that, people rolled their eyes so hard. Like, all the video people that I was working with, and then just anybody, all the locals, when I mentioned, oh, yeah, they're going to do a Katrina thing, because I guess right around the time it happened, everything was Katrina stuff, you know? And so, I don't know, though. I feel like after watching them handle OJ here, and that's what I told all these people, I was like, look, you just watch the OJ one. You kind of... They earn the trust to be able to do anything.
Yeah, whatever he does, even if you don't like it, it'll be good.
Like he could have done. I mean, I wouldn't surprise they. You know, maybe they still will do the actual Rodney King. I know that my first thing was, oh, well, wait till they do like Gacy.
Too close. Yeah, like Rodney King though is too closely tied to the OJ.
And they already kind of used it at the beginning.
Yeah, it's like 10. It's like 5 years earlier. Same police department.
Yeah. But, you know, it would be cool, because I was watching it earlier today, if they did something with The Son of Sam. Because I was watching Summer of Sam, the Spike
Lee
movie.
Yeah, I hate that movie.
It's not good.
It's a long, boring movie.
Not good at all, but there's definitely just the idea of a summer that was being held hostage by a serial killer, like an entire city. Or Zodiac. I mean, that was on as well. It was serial killer day, apparently, on the movie channels on Clone's cable. So it was like Summer of Sam and Zodiac. But
fuck you watching, dude.
I don't know. It was like American Crime Story. Except like movie versions.
That's cool.
So yeah, and it was I didn't realize... I was thinking to myself as it was unfolding, I'm like, when and how did the Bronco Chase end? I didn't realize that there was this whole drama actually at OJ's compound.
I don't remember that part. I just remember part. Oh, you know.
Where they were like, well, they were cops, like SWAT team just holding it down, like waiting to shoot him as soon as he got out of the Bronco. And especially so, one of the things I felt like we also didn't see was him grabbing the photos of his wife and kids and keeping those in the Bronco with him. Because all of a sudden he has those in his hand as he's getting out of the Bronco, and they were making such a big deal of, make sure you leave the gun in the car. Make sure you do not take the gun with you. Okay, OJ, listen, this might be the most important part of this fucking conversation. The gun stays in the car. And he's going, okay, All right. I'll talk to you later. Bye. And you're like, dude, he's totally not going to leave the gun in the car. You know, like, as soon as he gets off the phone, you're like, fuck, man, OJ's dead. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, I know he doesn't die here. You know what I mean? Like, I know in real life he's going to survive this moment, but I'm still on the edge of my seat going, fuck, they're going to shoot OJ. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I'm praying for a murderer right now. Oh, dude, the range of emotions. Just listen to how fucking all over the place I am in this episode alone. Oh, man. And of course, and I did, like, for some reason, I felt like one of the moments that just stuck out for me was when Schwimmer's, like, as Robert Crash, you're like, no, those aren't framed.
It's a picture frame.
Those are framed pictures. I know what you assholes are trying to do. Shut the fuck up.
Because that was so rust.
There's always that one dick cop who's like, he's got a gun. Like, it's like, even if he doesn't have a gun, someone always just has to say it, right?
Yeah,
like,
what's the term they used? No hotheads or no...
Yeah, no hotheads. We're not shooting this guy
on TV.
But
if you notice, it's because we're on TV.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. No hotheads. We're on TV. Or even earlier, like when they just let the Bronco drive away. And the one guy's like, aren't we going to shoot? No. No one's shooting at O.J. Simpson without some authorization.
Yeah.
You know, like, holy shit.
Fuck.
It'd be nice if they said that about Dave the Clone if I'm ever in a Bronco chase. No one's shooting at Dave the... No, Dave the Clone's getting shot. That's how that's going to work. Yeah, the 1% wouldn't matter if 99% of us voted. Anyway, yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. It was really, to me, the thing that I wanted to rant about the most was the Kardashian kids, and thank God we
Kardashian,
got
yeah.
Fucking fuck.
Clone.
Yeah. Kardashian. Like, yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, God. Family cheers.
I know, right? Dad's on TV talking about murder. All right, well, Marsha Clark is looking to draw blood, and I don't know. I hope if the Dream Team is the next episode, definitely see. Well, I don't know. I don't think we'll see Effie Bailey yet because he comes late, right? Doesn't he come down the road? He's not part of the Dream Team.
I have no idea.
I can't remember. I thought he came late. I thought he was a late addition.
Did he come in during the trial or before the trial?
I think during the trial. I think it starts out, and so it's Cochran and Shapiro versus Darden and Clark, and then Bailey joins.
And then Dershowitz there.
Dershowitz, is, yeah, comes in late, too. I think maybe
he must have been broke on lawyers.
Dershowitz was, he was the last one added. Fuck. Well,
those legal fees must have been retarded.
Yeah, right. And so maybe that's why he had that 1 year in between the civil. Was it a year before they did the civil trial, or did they go right away? Because
eight,
he must
eight
have.
Months.
I would say he must have written at least one book to pay off the legal fees from the first trial. You know what I mean? Because if then all of a sudden the Goldmans are getting everything he's.
Yeah, they own his name.
You know, that's fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit! All right. Well, we're not gonna. Gild the lily on this anymore because, you know, we could sit here and just say it's awesome for another 15 minutes, but, you know, who's that helping? Nobody. It's like we're just delaying the beginning of the trial. We're trying to get
it's like this podcast must be an hour. Let's talk about how awesome it is for 15 more minutes.
So, by the way, Cooper Gooding Jr., really not impressing you, huh? Anyway.
She's so not awesome.
I think we're going to see more Chris... Kardashian, at least from the promo, it seemed like she's going to be coming up soon.
Yeah, they all will.
And I like that it seems like one of the things that's going to start really coming into play is what people really think versus what they're able to prove and who automatically is like, oh, OJ definitely did it, and who is automatically like, no, maybe he didn't do it. Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm loving it. I'm so happy we're covering it. I'm so happy we're watching it. I hope other people are out there watching it with us. Please hit us up.
Send us some emails. We have like 15 minutes of stuff to do.
we're gonna yield back our time to the gentlemen and ladies of Internetica and give you 15 minutes of your life back on this podcast as you listen on your way into work or whatever it is you're listening to it on your way to doing. Maybe at the gym. Maybe you're doing stuff at home. Maybe you're putting groceries away. Or you could be like the small percentage of millennials and post-millennials who are using technology while they're fucking. Yeah, you could either be on your phone or listening to a podcast while you're
having
sex.
Taking a dump.
Yeah, taking a dump. That's a good one. That's a safe one.
Don't listen in the shower. power.
Not going to hurt dangerous. Anybody. Unless you have it plugged into like some speakers or something. I know somebody who's got a Bluetooth.
Listen to speaker. Us in the shower then.
And you can listen to all the myriad of shows on the Hall
We support hygiene.
Yeah, hygiene is good. In fact, we insist on hygiene. People like to fuck clean people, guys. That's mm-hmm. how that works. All right. Well, I think it's about time to call this sidebar to an end and maybe actually go do some legal work, some research, stay ahead of the game, because that's how you stay ahead of the game, by staying ahead of the game. And until next time, this has been Dave the Clone, cloning Robert Shapiro, among others.
John Morton.
And we will be seeing you after our next session. Please
email us.
Be careful. Follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. Be part of the fun of the Hollow Knight Network. This has been American Crime Story, Episode 2, The Run of His Life.
Ciao.
Man, they got the juice on TV and cuffs again. You've been listening to the Hollow Knight Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter at Hollow9Cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, cast. Email us at Hollow9Podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, Hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, Fangirlzone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow Knight.